It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to Pack of Lies. At least if you're listening to Lance Erline, that's what he thinks this show should be called. I prefer to think we speak truth to power, but one man's opinion is one man's opinion.
Yeah, you make enemies when you
And one of the enemies is Lance Erline. He is trying to turn this show into something it's not. We simply analyze sports maybe differently than others and see the truths where everyone else, well, we see the lies where everyone else sees truth. And we're going to get to something here a little different because, you know, we could start with preseason Rockets basketball, but we're not. We will get to that at some point, including a quote from Kevin Durant that might suggest his mindset's a little bit different from his head coach. It's not a controversy or anything, but there is another clip from Starting Five where Kevin Durant has his thoughts on what it takes to win a championship. So we'll get to that. But let's start with this mystery audio. And all mystery audio is something that Sean has not heard. Maybe you guys have heard it. Maybe you were online and saw it. But at least for now, Sean doesn't know what I'm asking him to play. He may have heard it because he's on the internet, on social media, but it doesn't have a label. So he is going to be surprised by what we hear. So this came down yesterday, and it struck me as odd that it even got released. And then some of the tone struck me as odd as well. So let's get to mystery audio three, Sean.
People doing stuff in between the play and refs don't catch it. Like, been trying to bully me out there. And I shouldn't have did it.
It was a long game for Lions safety Brian Branch, number 32. He got burned by Kelsey's basketball move. Got showed up by Mahomes.
Mahomes with his fourth rushing touchdown of the season.
Got juked by Xavier Worthy.
Worthy, with the feet like a featherweight boxer, gets to the outside.
And took a shot from Juju Smith-Schuster.
I got blocked in the back illegally. It was front of the ref. The ref didn't do anything. I could have got hurt off of that. But I still shouldn't have done that, so.
The turning point led to Branch's boiling point and a one-game suspension.
So that is Lewis Riddick breaking down all the things that led to Brian Branch's suspension. That clip has been deleted. It's from Turning Point, an NFL Films production. They have deleted that clip because I didn't know they are into doing diss tracks on players. And because the video accompanies it, and it's all the clips that you heard of Brian Branch having a bad day. And, of course, you heard at the end where Turning Point turned to Boiling Point. But the music is what catches me.
I didn't even know. That's so funny. That's Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, that's Lewis Riddick.
I just assumed it was like a Chiefs fan.
No, exactly. It's an NFL Films production, and that's Lewis Riddick. And they've since deleted it because they said, huh. And the world was like, what are we doing? Why is Brian Branch the subject of this diss track? So they've deleted it. But the music is what caught me. Because Lewis Riddick, while he's narrating what's going on, sounds like a guy from Dateline talking about a criminal.
Yeah, so that's the exact tone.
So let's listen to Mystery Audio 4, and maybe you hear some similarities, at least in the music.
So
So this is some audio that gets played under narration on Dateline when they're talking about what a criminal has done, and they'll intersperse like quotes from the criminal. There it is. That particular.
Yeah.
That's what they play sometimes. And I was listening to the Brian Branch audio and going, is Brian Branch a serial killer? Why are they talking about him in that tone, and why are they using that music?
Or it's like the victim of the...
Yeah,
of
either
the,
one.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs were the ones causing him harm, apparently. Yeah. And then he responded finally with the shot that got him suspended.
It was the last time he would ever visit those woods again.
It's the last time we would ever see Juju Smith-Schuster without a bloody nose. I don't know why they did it, but they got enough heat that they had to delete the clip from their social medias. I imagine it's part of their full production, the show that they do, but they had to delete it because we're like, what are we doing?
Nah, I would have kept it.
You would have kept it.
Yeah, it's funny.
There it is. That's my mystery audio. I said, huh? Brian Branch is, he didn't have a good day yet, and he's not going to be able to play in the Lions next game. I've never seen an NFL production target a player in that way.
I will say the fact that it's called Turning Point, and it's like the turning point, I assume most of the time it's like the turning point of a game. And this,
the game was over when
happened literally after the final whistle.
After the final kneel down, the turning point which led to Brian Branch's suspension.
Yeah.
So
he got juked out by Xavier Worthy. That was the one where I was
he fell for the Travis Kelce move.
Yeah, that's the one where he got emasculated or whatever it was. emasculated.
He feels like he doesn't feel like a man anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
with his pants down by Raheed Shaheed.
Like, I don't know if they did this with Aziz Alshaer when he hit Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if they did a whole thing leading to his suspension. But
I mean, that one, it would actually be like in an episode of A&E or Dateline, because
it was an assault.
And you would go, he has a past of doing that. Like, it has the, like,
they could point to him
raised
punching Roschon Johnson on the sideline earlier in the season.
Like a high school teacher be like, yeah, Aziz was always kind of a troublemaker.
No, you have to go.
Kept himself.
He was a quiet boy.
Couldn't
say a bad word about him.
Just wore a trench coat to high school every day and just kept to himself.
And this is part of why Aziz Alshaer was so upset last year, because he was being painted, at least he thought, as someone who was unfit to play in the NFL because of his actions.
Which arguably, he's the most fit to play in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a violent sport. Yeah. He seems to fit right in. So I don't believe they had a hit piece on Aziz Alshaer last year, but they did.
We would have
found it, if they had that music and Lewis Riddick doing the narration, we would have heard it.
Yeah. Doing the show with Paul, we joked that this was Aziz Alshaer 97.5, not ESPN 97.5, for how much we were talking about him basically every single day.
So the NFL Films realized their mistake.
I don't even think.
And pulled that clip.
Again, I think if it wasn't Lewis Riddick, I feel like they could have skated.
Because he is someone we don't associate with like nonsense, really.
Yeah.
He's just a straight football guy. He talks about teams. He has some well thought out opinions. He's never really associated with, oh, he's on one.
Like if Jason Kelce made that, like another ESPN guy, like, oh, okay. If Ryan Clark made it.
Yeah, if he
this
did
is
it.
Tame for Ryan Clark.
He would have to apologize. It fits that they pulled it because Ryan Clark always has to apologize.
But also, Ryan Clark, it wouldn't be packaged in a like funny A&E documentary style. It'd just be him talking for three and a half minutes while Channing Crowder nods.
Sure.
But yeah.
So there it is. Just caught me. You can find it. It's because people, of course, grabbed it. I think I grabbed this from TJ Lang, the former O-lineman. He had it on his account. That's where I first saw it as it came across my timeline. I don't follow TJ Lang. I don't follow any offensive alignment. It just came across the timeline. I just need to clear some things up.
Is that a blanket no offensive lineman?
It's not that
Chief
I have
Schwartz?
A rule.
No?
It's not that I have a rule. I just don't follow any offensive lineman. I don't follow many people. But there it is. And Dreamshake says, Turning Point sounded like a Chiefs fan doing a diss track, like you said. I said diss track. You did say it sounded like a Chiefs fan did it.
It does sound like a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, it's like a big-time recap of the game, and a Chiefs fan decided to go go after Brian Branch.
Can we play it one more time and just like focus on the way like things are phrased? It seems like he's like trying to dunk on Brian Branch.
Yeah.
Like it's, beyond just like, hey, he whatever, it was a boiling point or whatever. It was like, this guy sucked.
He had an awful game, and it led to what we saw at the very end. Yeah, let's play it again.
People doing stuff in between the play, and refs don't catch it. Like, they're trying to bully me out there. Should have never did it.
It was a long game for Lions safety Brian Branch, number 32.
If you weren't aware, here's his number.
He got burned by Kelsey's basketball move.
Burned.
Got showed up by Mahomes.
Showed up.
Mahomes.
Not even just beat. Showed up.
Fourth rushing touchdown of the season.
Got juked by Xavier Worthy.
Worthy, with the feet like a featherweight boxer, gets to the outside.
And took a shot from Juju Smith-Schuster.
I got blocked in the back illegally.
As a safety, Lewis Riddick is a former safety. He should have stood on that solidarity ground and said, I'm not doing this. Solidarity. I'm not doing this to one of my guys.
Also, took a shot from Juju Smith-Schuster, which was an illegal shot.
Yeah, it wasn't. You just don't call it a shot. Call it an illegal play that wasn't called. If you're doing that, if you're doing all of this, you can point out that that was a cheap shot.
You don't have to tip the scales. Lead the witness.
Brian Branch, you're not going to hear this, but we stand with you. At least I stand with him.
Yeah.
At least I mean, stand with
him. I don't.
You haven't made a declaration.
I mean, the first part where he's good, like, I was getting bullied out there. I was like,
They tried to bully me.
They tried to bully
That's me. Why I had to fight back.
Just saying through tears, they tried to bully me.
It wasn't tears. Yeah. Give him a little
grace. He sounded choked
grace.
Up. He sounded choked up.
He did acknowledge he shouldn't have done it. It's funny, he acknowledges he shouldn't have done it. Then when he gets suspended, he fights the suspension. Wait a minute.
Well, you got it.
I know. No one wants to lose a game check. Understood. But he will lose that, and maybe he should have a conversation with NFL Films about how he was portrayed, because I don't think they've ever done that to another player before, not that I've seen. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will get into what happened locally, a little bit of what happened last night with the Rockets, because it was the Reed Sheppard show. We were wondering who would play. Would they roll out the Reed Sheppard starting lineup or the one with the double bigs? It was neither. They sat down anyone of consequence, for the most part, which might speak to Reed Sheppard's status on the team. I don't know. I'm reading into it. But everyone who matters sits, except for him. He got his opportunity, and he played really well. We'll get to that. We'll get to the KD audio as well in the next segment. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776 is the number. We still have a pair of tickets to Cougs versus Wildcats to give away. We've given away tickets on every show, every day so far. That will continue today on this show. So if you want to go to that game tomorrow at 11 a.m., stay with us. Of course, Michael Carroll joins us. He's back. He had things to do last week. He's back with us at 11:30. He'll give a review of a movie that Sean said he was embargoed about talking about yesterday. But Michael will give a review of that movie. He also will tell you about things you should watch at home or not watch. So he'll join us at 11:30 for that. We are just getting started here. There's a big college football weekend to discuss, so we'll get into that as well. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Rockets sat almost anyone that would be in their rotation. They played a couple guys like Reed Sheppard played, Aaron Holiday played. Depending on the night and health, Josh Okogie may find himself in the rotation. And, of course, Jeff Green was out there as well. Jeff Green played 37 minutes last night. The Rockets only played 8 guys in a preseason game, which tells you that, as unimportant as these games are, you only play 8 guys and you sit the bulk of your rotation. This one was one where we don't care about this one. Now, they did win thanks to Reed Sheppard. He scores 29 points. Almost plays. He plays nearly 30 minutes. And Dream Shake sent us a tweet this morning. It was a comment from Kevin O'Connor, formerly of The Ringer, now works with Yahoo. He quote tweeted Reed Shepard's highlights and talked about he did this against Hawks starters, three of the five. I mean, Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson didn't play, but sure, it was a stronger Hawks team than what the Rockets put out there. And this isn't a fluke. This is a sign of things to come. I don't know that to be the case because Reed Shepard won't get that type of usage. Now, if he can do things like he did last night in the context of what the Rockets are going to be when they're whole, great. But we've seen Reed Shepard do this for a game last year. He would get injected into the starting lineup with, for the most part, their full rotation to have a game or two. So we know he has these type of nights in him, even in the regular season. But as far as what it was last night, glad the turnovers are lower than they have been. Well, he had a full game, 29-6-6 with four steals, which we know the quick hands thing is part of his bag. So what we take from it, glad that he shot the ball well. And for me, that's about it. We'll see where he lands as far as Tuesday night. Is he starting? Or are they going with the big lineup? We had some discussions about that yesterday. But better that he played well than if he didn't. And I'll leave it at that. Let's get to Kevin Durant here. Kevin Durant is going to be featured on the Starting Five Netflix show. And we've played some sound from him regarding how he got here as a Rocket, mostly due to the Suns' ineptness in trying to trade him during last season. Well, Kevin Durant has been brought in here for a couple of things, but specifically to go knock down shots when the Rockets' offense is bogged down and they just need a guy to go get a bucket. He's there for that. And he certainly thinks specifically about winning championships in that way. He says you need offense. Here's Kevin Durant on how you win championships today.
You have to score baskets if you want to win a championship. Playing defense, we can get any one of y'all in here to bend your legs, not touch the basketball, slide left and right, and contest the shot. That's easy. But when we're talking about winning at a high level against the best of the best, you cannot just do that and win a basketball game. You have to make shots. And that's why I work on my game so much. So if you want to win,
put KD in.
You got to make shots.
There it is. So I don't know if that is in line with what his head coach would say. It's certainly not in line with that age-old adage that defense wins championship. I would agree. When it gets late, you do need a bucket getter. You do need a guy who can create his own, get to the line, or just knock down a shot. Will we see that level? Will we see that particular attitude filter into his level of interest on defense during the regular season? I can see it. I can see him as a guy who is not going to go all out defensively in the regular season. It does just go against what we believe to be the Rockets' philosophy. But he knows what he's here for. And if he is subpar defensively at moments because he's got to save the energy for the other end, I think it's a trade-off that they're willing to accept. They made the trade. You don't trade for a guy of his age thinking he's going to be a lockdown defender through 70 games in the regular season.
Yeah.
The hope is you've got enough around him.
30-something years old.
Yeah, he's what, 36 now? He's at an age where you don't expect great efforts on the defensive end night after night. He's fully capable of being a guy who plays good defense. I just don't think I'm going to see it on a Wednesday night in Sacramento. I don't think I'm going to see that from him. You just hope that whatever he's conserving will show itself in the playoffs as the Rockets go deeper and deeper into the playoffs.
He is right, though, that anyone can play defense. That is like the thing about NBA basketball where it's like you could, if you're on an NBA court, if chances are, if you're an athlete good enough to be on an NBA court, you can play defense in the NBA. It's just a level of like how much are you actually going to try to get in a stance and what he says, move your feet. And actually play defense. Like it didn't, there was no reason that it had to take until year two of Ime Udoka coaching him that Jalen Green became a good defender.
Now, there's some guys who have physical limitations and they're just simply not quick enough to stay in front of the best players in the world. So I don't necessarily agree fully with what he's saying. If you're talking
about Joe Ingles got to guard like Paul George in playoff series that they won. you don't have to be the greatest athlete in the world to play defense.
I do think to be a good defender. Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on what you mean by play defense. To be a good defender, not a liability. There are certain attributes that some guys don't have. Like Reed Shepard's not big enough to handle bigger guards. Now he's quick.
Yeah, but and when he has quick hands.
But when it comes down to it, if a bigger guard wants to take him down the post, there's nothing he's going to be able to do about
it. I think that for most guys in the NBA, you can play defense. There's no reason that a lot of the defense, like there's no reason that Michael Porter Jr. is like a defensive sieve.
I don't think sure effort plays a big part in doing it, but the elite defenders, they have certain attributes that other guys have. Like
I just mean being not bad.
I would disagree. I think some guys, if you're not quick enough, you don't have long arms, and if you're a perimeter player, you're gonna get targeted. I watched in the playoffs when it came to the Cavs versus the Heat. Tyler Herro was criticized immensely because of his inability to stay in front of guys. Do I think that guy doesn't try? No. I think he ain't capable of staying in front of Donovan Mitchell.
I think a lot of guys, it is just like, nah, no thanks.
I don't think, I would agree, some guys don't try. But even, I do believe that guys who do try, in some cases, their physical limitations compared to some of the best athletes that play offense hurts them. I'll go back to the Heat Cavs. Like Tyler Herro, good offensive player, tries hard, tries to improve his game every year. And sure, can he become a better defender? I would imagine he can. But when it comes down to it, Donovan Mitchell's going to go by him. That's my thought. That's my thought process.
But just to be like not bad, I think you can do it. You can do it.
I guess it depends on your level and what you mean by not bad. Like not be atrocious and try. I'll give you that.
Yeah,
that can happen.
Guys like Donovan Mitchell and Shea, cool. Like they score on good defenders. Like I just mean like not unplayably bad, not to where it's like this guy can't play defense. Like, come on, you can play defense.
I don't know that I agree, but we can keep it moving there as far as that's concerned. Effort means a lot, but talent and athletic ability certainly play a part as well. All right, we will go to break with that. We will come back with the quarterback of the Houston Texans and his thoughts as he spoke to the media yesterday. They've got a game against the Seahawks. The Seahawks are a team, at least offensively. We talked about it, loves play action. Sam Darnold's going to take deep shots. That's part of what they do. When Jackson Smith and Jigba is out there, Torrey Horton's out there, you're going to have guys looking to get explosives down the field. The Texans haven't had issues with that really this year. I mean, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson was out of position on a slant that Brian Thomas took, and that was why the Texans lost against the Jags. But there haven't been really a lot of deep balls against the Texans so far. I think they'll be tested quite a bit, and we will have to see how they hold up. And we'll hear from CJ on that Texans defense and what they do and the growth of the offense when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And it is the weekend that we have a full weekend of football ahead of us, whether it's pro, whether it's college. We also got some baseball games ahead of us as well. So, hey, you can mix and match in your lineup. You can get a little bit of baseball, get a little bit of pro football, get a little bit of college football in your lineup and maybe put a little bit of money in your pocket. Tonight, Jaron Kiwe Sagapoetele and the Cal Bears face off against UNC, who still have looked terrible every time they've played a power conference opponent. Give me Sagapoetele more than 261.5 passing yards tonight against the Tar Heels in Berkeley. Moving to Saturday, a rivalry matchup, actually two rivalry matchups involving the state of Texas. First one, TCU versus Baylor. Give me Josh Hoover, TCU's quarterback, to throw for more than 312 passing yards. I think that this is going to be a shootout that we remember when TCU and Baylor would get together. And that would decide the Big 12. I mean, this one won't decide the Big 12, but we will get a shootout in, I think that's in Waco. And then next, we got Arkansas versus Texas A&M. Arkansas's defense, also terrible. A&M, big play receivers, basically every week. Give me Mario Craver, more than 32.5 for his longest reception. That's right. His longest reception will be more than 32 and a half yards. He actually goes over this pretty consistently and against better defenses than Arkansas. So that's what I'm going with. I'm going to Sagopolitelli tonight, Josh Hoover tomorrow at 11 a.m., and then Mario Craver for making a big play at 2:30 on Saturday. If you like those picks, you can follow them. If not, you can make your own picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll hear from CJ Stroud here shortly, but because this show is this show, something we have not discussed at all has entered the chat via Pena. Pena, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, man. So the job I work for, they are doing a Halloween party, and the winner's gonna get like I think of like a rack or like $1,200 for the winner for the best costume. I need some help, man. So I have two. I'm stuck between two, but if y'all can come up with something funnier, I'll take that. So my two recommendations are, or my two choices right now are Nacho Libre. Or I don't know if I can say this guy's full name, so I'm going to just shorten it. Fat B from Austin Powers. Mm-hmm. And thank you. Have a great day and weekend.
Thank you. He was going to ask about a movie, but he was too concerned about his costume. I, as someone who's only dressed up twice since I was a child for Halloween, have always been partial to Quail Man. If you don't know who Quail Man is, it's Doug Funny's alter ego from the cartoon Doug. He's looking for Funny. Do you think it's funny to wear cargo shorts and then wear tighty-whitey underwear pulled up over them? And then you have to get yourself a cape and you have to wear a belt on your head and make the belt look like feathers on the top of your head. That's what I have done. I have not dressed up in probably a decade or so. I ain't about that life anymore. Maybe a little shorter than that. A little bit less time ago than that. But yeah, as far as your options, Nacho Libre and... I think you can say fat bastard. I just did. I'm a fan of Nacho Libre. The other costume feels like a lot of work. Are you going to wear a fat suit? Are you just going to go shirtless? Actually, he doesn't. Yeah, he's not shirtless, but he is a big dude. I don't know how big you are, Pena, but maybe Nacho Libre is a choice.
Yeah, because I pulled up fat bastard. Fat. I mean, you have to be really fat to pull off fat bastard.
Hence the name.
Like, you have to be, like, Mike Myers wasn't that fat.
Yeah, he put on a giant fat suit.
You had to use prosthetics.
Yeah,
to be as fat
and which and what are you going to do? You're going to be as the fake UPS delivery man, or are you going to be in
no,
a
I think you got to do the
shirtless sumo the look, kind of, with the towel wrapped around? What's he going to do?
You can't. It's a work thing. You can't do shirtless with a towel.
You can do.
I think you could do the one with the shorts.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You're going to have to explain your costume, I think, to people.
Yeah, because, again, unless you are going to get prosthetics to look more like Fat Bastard.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
People are just going to be like, why are you wearing shorts
I think you can,
and a cardigan to this party?
Yeah, I think the Nacho Libre thing is an easier thing to pull off.
Yeah.
So I would go with that if you're trying to be distinctive and not pay the money for prosthetics or a fat suit. But it's up to you.
Yeah, or... you can get a bathrobe and some wraparound sunglasses and look like Leo from One Battle After Another.
Yeah, I don't know how...
I feel like other people might do that.
You think that's a costume people are going to go with this quickly after the movie?
It's just
this soon after the movie?
It's also a very easy costume.
Yeah, like...
I just described it. Do you have a red bathrobe?
Yeah.
Do you have, a gray shirt and some shorts? And hardest part is the wraparound sunglasses.
Yeah, the Quail Man... thing took some work because I had to wear a sweater vest and create a queue out of like I forgot which type of tape I used to represent Quail Man. So there's more work involved, more crafts. I think I went to Hobby Lobby a couple times. So as far as the Leo thing, it's probably easier. And you got time. You got 2 weeks to figure it out. Or maybe you told me what day your Christmas, your Halloween party was. I forgot. But I would go with Nacho Libre.
At the earliest, it'll be next weekend.
And I would go with Nacho Libre. Seems easier. Yeah. You don't have to explain the costume.
Give me one more look at Nacho Libre.
Since he's already thinking about it, he knows what it'll take. And that one requires him going shirtless.
Yeah. Yeah, Nacho Libre will be good.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
The cape?
Yeah.
I don't think enough people wear capes in everyday American life.
Would you hang out with someone who wore a cape?
Nacho Libre? Yeah, sure.
No, just B-Mac.
If B-Mac wore a cape,
would he be in the group chat if he walked around with the cape? Would we have invited him to play once cross-platform was a thing for 26? Like last year, he couldn't play because it was only we had were PS5s and you couldn't cross-platform our Dynasty. But if he walked around consistently with the cape, do you think he gets invited into the group chat to play?
I think so. I think it adds character. I think it adds a little bit of like, whoa, what's this guy about?
He's a tall guy. He's wearing a cape.
I think tall helps.
I'm not sure people are looking for that. I mean, it wouldn't have been my decision. But does Joe invite cape wearing B-Mac into the group chat for our CFB Dynasty?
I think so.
I'd have to ask Joe, I guess.
Also, B-Mac's funny because I think I've only ever seen B-Mac wear a t-shirt and shorts. And wearing a t-shirt and shorts with a cape is a very funny look.
It feels like you got to wear pants with the cape.
I guess I was just thinking like with a suit on or something. Or
in corporate America, you're saying, wear a cape?
Yeah. Like if a businessman wore a cape.
Like our sales staff is rarely here, but there were times when they're always in the office and we had like a couple guys here. But at a time
Dimitri wore a cape. I feel like that helped.
I've never seen him in a suit before. He's business casual for the most part.
Business casual also kind of works. It works more than t-shirt and shorts.
Sure.
And not a knock on B-Mac. It's what we all wear for the most part. But, I think it has to be business casual at least.
Got it.
Shout out to that dude from Task, overdressed at the FBI.
Sometimes.
What does summer casual mean to you?
I don't think
what a wild throwaway joke in like a very serious show.
I don't think he knew anything about summer casual, considering what he was wearing. That full three-piece suit, from what I remember.
It looked like he was going to a funeral.
Well, a lot of people died. All right, we got one more episode of Task on Sunday
night.
Shout
out to the Dark Hearts.
Might be a rough ending for some of those guys, from what I can tell. I don't know. It feels like it could be. And Maeve may be in some trouble as well. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll do the CJ Stroud sound when we come back. We got distracted by Halloween costume recommendations.
Hey, it's the season, you know?
It's true.
If not now, then when would we get distracted by Halloween costume conversations?
I would ask people to not call about that in June. It's just a request, not a demand. If you plan ahead that far ahead, all right.
But I mean, if you plan that far ahead, like, it better be more involved than Nacho Libre.
Yeah, you better
That's
be sewing that thing yourself. It better be like a Batman costume you make yourself, not that you buy.
You better
from
be
somewhere.
Getting in shape to look like Christian Bale in Batman. Like,
exactly.
It has to be that. It's what 3 months, 4 months ahead.
Put in the work.
Do those crunches, crawl out of that pit.
Get the push-ups in and go to work. All right, we'll go to break. We'll hear from CJ Stroud when we come back. Also, we'll give away those tickets here shortly, probably right at the top of the hour. So if you're looking to go to the Cougs versus Arizona Wildcat game, which is tomorrow at 11 a.m., looks like we're going to give them away 24 hours before the game begins. We'll do that in about 15 minutes. We will be back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
no debate about having one of the best defenses in the NFL in the city. They're going to get a chance to show who they are against a good opponent on Monday night when they head up to Seattle. Well, let's hear from the quarterback who faces them in practice, has watched them work throughout training camp and earlier in the offseason, and has seen how they've shut down not only his offense but other offenses through the first five, at least the first five games for them of this regular season. Here's C.J. Stroud on his defense and how it gets him prepared.
It could be suffocating where, you know, like they're pushing the pocket, playing sticky coverage, run game, they're being stout, setting edges and running to the ball, talking crazy and slapping their helmets, all that type of crazy stuff. So that stuff could be demoralizing. So I've been on the other side of that, but I think it prepares you, you know, to even because that stuff is bound to happen. Like the other team gets paid too, but it keeps you, at least for me, to keep myself motivated for the next play, because it takes time. You know, these defenses are really good, but it takes time to unlock a defense. Sometimes the first play, sometimes the last. But I think playing against our defense has taught me, you know, to stay down for the come up, play my game, take what's there, and, you know, and try to just move forward and don't fall for the hype. But they do a great job of, you know, running around, playing together, and just playing free.
And they love being bullies. If they know they have a physical advantage, not only will they take advantage of it, they'll let you know about it too. So it's one of the more aggressive units, and that's built through the philosophy that DeMeco has said, that this is how we're going to play. And even if you are wrong, get there fast. And that seems to permeate through the entire defense. And they'll get a big test, I think. Seattle has dudes across that offense. Big features going on Jackson Smith and Jigbo right now. Of course, CJ played with him at Ohio State, so they asked him questions about his time with him. And I think he mentioned that big Rose Bowl game where they both had big days against Utah. They said it felt like a day in practice, how good they felt throwing the football. We're going to need a little bit more pushback from the Texans than the Utes gave in Jigba that day.
I actually doubt that they had days in practice
that were that good. It feels unlikely because they're playing the Ohio State defense. Yes. Unless they're going against scout team, it feels unlikely they had a better day.
And Utah had
day.
Like a converted like
they had guys out all across
the
defense.
Yeah, they had
like
a running back playing cornerback.
Yeah, that's the thing that isn't get mentioned because it was setting records in the Rose Bowl, that Utah was severely undermanned because of all their injuries. Yeah.
But yeah, just 300 receiving yards. I don't know. I feel like going up against, I don't know, whoever was the cornerback at that time was probably drafted in the first round.
Sure. And you think about that. The big thing about that was, I think that was Marvin Harrison Jr. No, it wasn't him. There was another receiver. It was Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. Didn't they both sit out that game?
Yeah.
They both sat out that game. So they were wondering, what's Ohio State going to do? Oh, just throw it to that guy.
I think that's when the, like, Ohio State just always has the next guy at receiver, like, really became like, oh, they really do just like at all times have five NFL receivers on the roster.
And it's the reason that Brian Hartline, who was their wide receiver coach, pretty much held them over a barrel and said, you got to make me the OC because of all my recruiting chops.
And they're like, sure. Are you going to call plays?
I just need the title. I just want the title.
I mean, against when we play Ohio, you'll call plays. Yeah, but, sure, whatever. Knock yourself out.
But against other teams, Ryan Day's going to have a big influence on how things go.
Yeah. Third and five against Michigan. Well, although against Michigan, maybe don't pass the sticks to Ryan Day, but
find someone else.
I was trying to think of the big game on their schedule.
This year.
Texas.
Texas.
Duh.
Didn't do a lot offensively that day.
Yeah. Take that.
Well, you guys do a good job of shutting down one Jeremiah Smith. That is something Texas can say they do better than anyone else. They shut down Jeremiah Smith.
Hell yeah.
Didn't lead to any wins, but hey, at least you did that.
Well, I'm leaving here with something, and that's that's lesses on Jeremiah Smith receiving
unders
yards.
Unders on Smith receiving yards. If you're a Texas fan, bet on that when they play each other. And let's see if that happens.
Yeah, they really – I looked at Ohio State's schedule. There's not even like the – I mean, Penn State. They play Penn State.
Which is supposed
to be
–
a big game.
Like, even when Penn State is good, I always expect Ohio State to win. This time, it's going to be a bludgeoning.
Like, they play Wisconsin this week, Penn State, Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, Michigan. End of season. When they play Indiana in the Big Ten.
Or Oregon if Indiana slips up, which feels unlikely. But, yeah, to your point, there's not a lot there. It's just the mystique of can they actually get over the hump and beat Michigan? Yeah. Or is it going to be 5 years in a row that they lose to them? It'd be funny. Sometimes you go, you know, it'd be funny.
It would just – now it's – I mean, last year was the, like, ultimate. Like,
yeah, that
– there's no reason that they had
Michigan
any business losing.
Could barely function offensively, and they still lost that game. At home, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was the flag planting.
Yeah. At
Remember
home,
the flag planting?
And it set them off to go win a national title. So they go to Ann Arbor. Michigan's better offensively, but worse defensively.
They should win
that game by three scores.
They should have won at least one of the last five.
They have not.
They're probably the favorites in most of them.
I think they were the favorites in
four of the five, maybe. Maybe there's one like when Michigan was really good.
At home?
Yeah.
You would think it'd be the 2023 game. That was Michigan at home.
And they won the title.
And they went on to win the title. But I don't even know if that was the case in 2023. So it should be this year. It should be a win for Iowa State. They shouldn't lose in the regular season, but should and shouldn't.
Yeah. Same thing was true last year.
Yeah, so. We'll just see. Let's hear from CJ one more time before we go to break. This is about his offense as they grow together. It was tough early. They've gotten much better results-wise. It'll be their best test since they – I think the best defense since they played the Rams in week one. But here is C.J. Stroud on how the offense is evolving as he works with Nick Haley.
There were some things where I think we can build upon, and there are some things that I think we shouldn't do anymore. We should just move on, try some other things. But I thought, you know, what we did coming to practice last Wednesday was really helpful to, you know, work on some of the things that we need to work on from just a big picture standpoint as an offense instead of just against Seattle or against San Fran or whoever we're going to play. It was good for us as a whole to just fit what we need. So I thought that was good.
He is honest. And he talked about before what Nick Haley wants versus what he thinks the guys on the roster feel is best for them to perform well offensively as far as scheme and plays. There has been a back and forth that they try to figure out what's best for the team. I'm sure he believes there's some things in Nick Haley's system that he believes should just be trashed, that we should not be doing this anymore.
Again, I'm sure a lot of quarterbacks do this, but I don't remember them like actually saying it to the media, which is not a huge deal. It's just very funny that the idea that C.J. Stroud just seems like he's like the assistant offensive coordinator, or maybe that Nick Haley is the assistant offensive coordinator.
Yeah, who's leading who?
And he's just like, okay, like they're sitting there watching film. He's like, all right, so this, throw it in trash. No, like this, we can't be doing this anymore, Nick. Like, nope, wrong.
Just read that part of the playbook.
He's just watching the Rams and Bucks games being like, nope, don't do that.
like a professor with a red pen.
Just yeah, exactly.
Just out, out, not nope. This, not that.
And then all the ones against the Ravens and Titans being like, yeah, that worked. Let's keep doing that.
Nikhaley's
like, that's the same one against the Bucks.
It just so happens there's a third-string cornerback out there, and that's why it worked. All right.
Jalen Noel could just juke this guy out of his sneakers. That's why.
Like, hey, CJ, Xavier Hutchinson had not caught a touchdown his entire career. He caught two in that game against the Ravens. Perhaps.
You're calling the good plays, Nick.
Perhaps.
Calling the good
perhaps
ones.
It's less about me switching things and more about the opponent. And
you should listen to me more often, Nikhaley.
We'll see if Nikhaley does listen to CJ on Monday night. I said we'd do this now, so let's do it now. But I want to give people a little lead-in. So at 11:05, caller 4 wins a pair of tickets to Cougs versus Wildcats. The number is 713-780-3776. If you want to see the Cougs, try to get to 3-1 against the Arizona Wildcats. Now's your time. Well, 5 minutes from now is your time. And we'll give those tickets away to caller 4. Caller 4, 713-780-3776. Wins those tickets. It is homecoming. They want a big crowd out there. They want you to support the club coming back home after their win in Stillwater. Support the Cougs. Feel the roar, not fear the roar. Feel the roar of the crowd. Be part of that crowd. Be loud. Wear red. Get there early and put on for the Cougs. If you don't win the tickets from us, you can go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get those tickets, because, sure, we're giving them away, but that didn't stop you if you don't win them from us. You got other avenues to do it. So we'll give those away at 11:05, caller 4. All right, we'll go to break. We'll do some college football stuff when we come back. Big weekend beyond the Cougs on Saturday. Kind of starts tonight. You got the number 2 team in the country at home, but against an opponent who they've had issues with, at least stopping them. So it should be interesting. We'll talk about that game and the rest of the weekend when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.